May I have your attention, please? Shalom. My name is daughter of Yisrael Abel Peace Hawkins. I want to serve you as a priest starting very soon. It's now time to start finding your seats for Sabbath services.
Shalom. My name is daughter Yisrael Abel Leah, and I want to serve you forever as a priestess starting very soon. It's now a privilege and an honor to present you to you, the sons and daughters of Yisrael Abel, now entering the sanctuary. It's a privilege and an honor to turn it over to one of the daughters of Yisrael Abel, Maggie Hawkins.
Shalom, everyone. My name is Maggie, and I will be reading you a poem. It is the greatest gathering that has ever been told. It will surpass all gatherings from the days of old. To see it come to pass, we must do what we are told. Remember, we are Yahweh's saints that shine like pure gold. Now please stand and welcome in honor of Yisrael Abel Omer.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. My name is Omer Alexander Hawkins. You may be seated. Are we prepared? I'm not talking about is our food or our clothes prepared. No, I'm talking about prepared for the greatest gathering in the history of mankind. How do we prepare ourselves? Our pastor gave us some great ways to prepare ourselves. He said, stay away from negativity. Seek our counselors. Submit ourselves to authority. And always, always be willing to learn, because we will never be above our teacher, ever. So, Mr. President, you can build a wall. You can even sign 10,000 travel bans. Nothing will stop this prophesied greatest gathering. Yahweh's house is open to all people who desires to become just like him. So come on home, it's time. And with that, I'd like to turn it over to the next star of Yisrael Abel.
Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. The title of my speech today will be The House of Yahweh, the Hen House on the Hill. Have you ever been called a chicken? Well, by the end of my speech, I think you will realize it was actually an ark. In the sixth book of Yisrael, chapter 27, verse 142, Pastor says, notice this right here in verse 14. Remember what he says, I'm going to keep you from that hour. When all the world is on trial, I'm going to keep you. Like a hen gathers her chickens under her wings and feathers when it rains, I'm going to keep you. This is a picture of a mother hen protecting her chicks under her feathers, faithfully watching over them, making sure that no harm comes to them. The house of Yahweh is our mother. We are her chicks. In the 13th book of Yisrael, Part 1, Chapter 4, Verse 27, it reads, he will cover you with his feathers. You get that? His feathers. And under his wings, are you tying this together with the destruction that is coming? Under his wings, will you trust? His troops will be your shield and your buckler. Yahweh is doing a great gathering in these last days, of which we are just the beginning. The house of Yahweh is the prophesied place of protection, as shown in Isaiah 26, verse 20. It reads, "Come, my people, into the sanctuary, and I will shut your doors around you. I will hide you as it were for a little moment, until the indignation has passed over. He has established a house that we could be gathered and be protected from the 1 hour burning." So the house of Yahweh is the hay house on the hill. We are her chicks. So the next time someone calls you a chicken, smile and say thank you. I would like to end my speech with an acronym for the word gather. Gather at the hen house on the hill and earn an eternal rank and position. And with that, I would like to turn over to the next speaker, Gather.
Praise Yahweh. We'll now turn it over to the queens in the house of Yahweh.
Shalom, great saints of Yahweh. Welcome home. Please be seated. We'd like to continue our presentation with you this morning. And I want to remind you of something the great overseer said. In the sixth book of Israel, and welcome also to those who are joining us on the internet and any forms of media. May the peace of Yahweh be with you as well. In the sixth book of Israel, the great last days witness, the one sent, said he wanted to write a book entitled The Great Human Potential. I thought, wow! When I hear the great human potential, something comes to my mind, and let me tell you what it is today. I want to share it with you. There's a sister. She's older. She has a little problem with her foot, a little walking. You know, when we get older, you know how we become. So she walks kind of slowly. She felt not sick. She felt sick after the feast. So they told me, well, Yahweh will have to intervene. Took her to the doctors. They told us that she was very dehydrated. Very dehydrated. So, Yahweh has to intervene. I'm talking about the great human potential. So ask her, but what occurred? You were so well, everything was nice. What occurred? So sick after the feast. She said, well, you see, when I have to go here or there, I walk a little slowly, and I don't want to take my sisters out of the service. I don't want the sisters who are supposed to be in the service, I don't want them to miss anything, taking me out, walking so slowly and have to miss it. And this is why now you are so sick. Yahweh has to intervene. Thinking of others before herself. I don't want my sisters to miss anything in the service. So self, we are not drinking any water. That's what she told herself. We are not drinking any water for the entire feast. So they asked her, well, how do you see Yahweh in your case right here? Where does Yahweh fall in? How do you see Yahweh? She said, she smiled, a big smile, and she said, Yahweh, he is very kind to me. She's better now. She's somewhere there having a wonderful feast. And to me, this is what great human potential is. A relationship with Yahweh, where Yahweh can give and take, and you understand your Father, and that to me is the great human potential. And with this, we'll continue our speakers and introduce our first speaker, Lily Hawkins.
Salam, everyone. My name is Lily, and the title of my speech is Build the Holy House of Yahweh. I like to build the Holy House of Yahweh. Do you? Please sit. Please turn with me to Exodus 25, 8 to 9. And it says, build the holy house of Yahweh, and let them make me a sanctuary, that the time may dwell among them, according to all that I show you, after the pattern of the tabernacles and the pattern of all his furnishings, exactly so shall you make it. Now may I ask you a few questions, please? Is stealing building the holy house of Yahweh? Is holidays building the holy house of Yahweh? Is fighting building the holy house of Yahweh? On the other hand, teaching righteousness, is that building the holy house of Yahweh? Is serving building the holy house of Yahweh? And is rejoicing at the feast, is that building the holy house of Yahweh? In conclusion, let's all build the holy house of Yahweh to get ready for the greatest gathering. And now I'd like to turn it over to the next speaker.
Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. My title today is Believe in Yahweh, Then You Go Far. It takes a strong, powerful, determined, focused person to remain in the house of Yahweh. It takes strength, obedience, and being humble to stay in our place and wait on Yahweh. At times when we are down, hurt, confused, almost to the peak of giving up, we seem to forget what Yahweh told us in 1 Corinthians 11:13. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. This doesn't mean that you won't be tested and tried, because in order to enter into Yahweh's Shema and to receive eternal life, we must be tested and tried for Yahweh to see where our heart really is. But when you are tempted, he will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. What is this escape? This escape is the laws and the teachings, the statutes and the judgments, and the peace of solution that we have been taught in the house of Yahweh. It is up to each and every one of us to use this escape way that Yahweh has given us, so we may be able to bear the tests and trials and the desire to sin. These temptations are all around us. It can hit us like a flu when we are least expecting it. But we also need to remember what Yahweh instructed us to do in Matthias 6, verse 33. But seek you first the kingdom of Yahweh and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. When we are going through our daily grime, our tests and trials, we have to believe Yahweh's words. We have to follow his instructions, do what he tells us to do. Sometimes we might want to go our own way, but we also need to remember the scripture that Yahweh said, Proverbs 4:23, to guard our minds with all diligence. When we feel the desire to sin coming upon us, We need to allow Yahweh to work out his plan. He's the one who's in full control. We have the power over what we do, see, think, and act. We can choose to either follow Yahweh's instructions or break them. We can choose to allow Satan to rule over us or Yahweh to rule over us. We can choose to let our eyes look straight ahead and keep them glazed right in front of us instead of looking to the right or the left and looking what's out here in the world. And it would not be easy. It won't. But Yahweh says we can do it. We can choose life. We just have to keep our focus, keep our eyes, mind, and heart on the gold and on the kingdom of Yahweh. Then we'll make it far. Proverbs 4:10-13 says, "Hear, my son, accept what I say, and the years of your life will be many. I am teaching you in the way of wisdom. I am leading you on the right path. When you walk, your path will be clear and open. When you run, you will not stumble. Take a firm hold on instruction. Do not let go. Guard it well, for it is your life. Believe in Yahweh. We have each other. Because when we put our full trust in him, we will go so, so far, it will never be behind. So as together, as one family in unity, we will make it in Yahweh Shema." And with this, I'd like to turn over to the next round of rejoicing.
Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. All right, so today I'd like to continue on this topic, and I'm going to be speaking on study to show yourself approved. Now, this can be a challenge at times, and to find that time to study and really dedicate that time to Yahweh and put your whole heart and mind into it. But it can be done, and it's actually a commandment in the scriptures. You can find this in several places. But first off, let's turn over to 2 Timothy 3:2:15. And this is a very, very, very well-known scripture. And it reads, "Study to show yourself approved to Yahweh, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, the law, and the prophets." Now, in the magazines, you can see where it's been corrected, and it says, "Study to show yourself approved to Yahweh, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, standing before the teacher named Yisraelad, able to learn the truth." So there you can see, where is the only place that we can learn the truth? Yes, the great house of Yahweh at Abel. Now, I want to focus on those two words, study and approved, before we get into our next scripture, which is going to be Isaiah 34:16. But the word study, when you look it up in the Greek, it's word number 4704 from 4710. And it means to use speed. And it's very interesting, the words that are in that word study. To make effort, be prompt or earnest, endeavor, do diligence, be diligent, give diligence, labor, to hasten to do a thing, and to exert oneself. And you can see that where it says to make effort. Right here where it says study to show yourself approved, you can see where it's saying that the individual, us ourselves, have to take action. No one can do it for you. We've been given the tools, we've been given the classes, but still as an individual we are commanded to search out the scriptures and to study. And you can see the importance of that in verses 14, 16, and through 18, where it says, "Remind them of these things." And skipping, it says, "That they do not agree in disputes where all the people are gathered together, serving no purpose," which in other words is gossip. And in verse 18, "Who have strayed concerning the truth, saying that their resurrection has already taken place, and they overthrow the faith of some." So you can see their vain babblings, and without having the mindset where you want to study and be like Yahweh, can lead to gossip and eventually falling away. That's the seriousness of it. So in Isaiah 34:16, we have what we are to study. Now in these last days, we have the book of Yahweh, which is given back to us in what year? Yes, 1987. Until then, we couldn't keep that commandment. Yahweh allowed that book of Yahweh to be restored, which he had gathered, just like he's gathering us here in the last days. Okay, so Isaiah 34:16, and that's on page 551. It says, "Search out the book of Yahweh and read." And read. "Not one of these will be neglected. For it is written, Yahweh is their shepherd. for his mouth has commanded it and his spirit has gathered them. All right, so that word search, looking in the Webster's Dictionary, it says to look into or over carefully or thoroughly in an effort to find or discover something, to examine in seeking something and to read thoroughly. And how many times has Pastor always told us when you read the scriptures, don't read it like a storybook, or when you hear the sermons, go back and rehearse what I've said. Make notes on it and go back and talk about it with the people you work with, and that would stop us from gossiping and talking about things that we shouldn't. But it also helps us to keep these things in our mind and keep us on our feet, so when we do have the opportunity to teach, it helps us to be able to do that cross-referencing, which we've been doing that in class, and we've been very blessed to have that. One thing that we started a while ago when these classes first started in the evenings was building our concordance or our chain reference. We can think of a word. And yesterday we were talking about this, some sisters and I, where we were talking about the word strength and looking in our notes and seeing how many times that word strength comes up. You don't have your Strongs with you always, but you have the reference there, and that helps a lot. Now, going back to that word approved in 2 Timothy 2:15, it means to be, in the Greek, it's in word number 1384 from 1380, and it means acceptable, approved, or tried. Now, if you get that word acceptable, we think of Genesis 4, if you could all turn there. It's on page 3, and verse 6. So Yahweh said to Cain, "Why are you angry? Why are you downcast?" Verse 7. If you do righteousness, will you not be acceptable? And if you do not do righteousness, sin is crouching at your door. The desire to sin is with you, but you must overcome it. And we must, studying to show ourselves approved, as you can see in that word, helps us to become acceptable. It's part of practicing righteousness that we're commanded to do. Now, it may be difficult at times, especially if you have a busy schedule, if you're a mother with many children, but it can also, you can find techniques and different things that work for you. For example, you can have your book of Israel sitting on your bed of a morning and have it flip there, you know, to the page you want it. If you want to put something in it to have a bookmarker, you can do that. So when you get up of a morning, you see it, you pray, and then it motivates you to go and study. Now, don't try to go brush your teeth and go study the book of Israel at the same time. You don't want to do that. You want to make sure you get everything done first and get comfortable and have your notebook, your pen, and your pencil, and your Strongs if you want to, and then read. If it's just one paragraph out of the book of Israel, just one scripture, it's the effort. Remember that word study showed to make effort, to make time. And remember in Proverbs and Ecclesiastes where it talks about the importance of gaining wisdom and how that ties into the prophecy of Pastor, which he read yesterday, of him and Yahshua in Isaiah 11, where it says the rod, where it talks about the rod and the branch, and then it says the spirit of knowledge will rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom, and the other scriptures that say, to whom will I teach wisdom? So you can see, we want to be as our teacher, Israel Hawkins, and also the great priests of the house of Yahweh and priestesses who have taught us to put forth that effort to study, so we won't be lacking and we won't be deceived by every wind of doctrine. Also, Yahshua himself, if you turn over to Yochanan 5:39, he said, "Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me." So you can see there, and many times when the Pharisees, Sadducees, and Essenes came to him, and even his disciples, when he was asked different questions or he was challenged, he had the answer right there. Just like the last day's witness, Israel Hawkins, he has that two-edged sword ready to give that answer and to teach. He said himself, "Search the scriptures," just like Isaiah 34:16 says, "Search out and read the book of Yahweh." And this is all part of the gathering as well, because if you think of the scripture that everyone's been using quite often lately is Jeremiah 23, and in verse 4 it says, "I will set up shepherds over them." Well, the shepherds, the captains that Pastor's been talking about, we have to study in order to be able to teach. But before we can teach, we also have to learn. So we've been given the tools, we've been given the classes. If you need help, always remember we have our counselors to go to. But never ever give up. Always show Yahweh that we want to make that time in our day to study and to pray and have our minds dwelling on His word and His law. And also, as parents, remember to teach our children diligently. And this can be done by example. You can make it to where the children want to learn and want to read. They're very eager to learn. And with this, if you all please stand and turn over to the next speaker.
Shalom, you may be seated. Today I'm going to be speaking on the topic of the Great Gathering, and the title of my speech today is Mental Agriculture. Now I'm going to ask you a question. I want you to be thinking about the answer throughout my speech. When you think of the gathering, what comes to your mind? Now the definition of gathering in the Merriam-Webster's dictionary, it's an assembly, a meeting, a collection, an occasion when people come together as a group. Now, how should we gather? How were we gathered? And how do we gather others? I'd like to read Philippians 2, verse 2. It's found on page 922. And it says, "Complete my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being united in one accord of one mind." Now, the gathering isn't just calling a bunch of people to one place. You know, it isn't just picking fruit off of a tree. These things take a lot of preparation. Do you think Yahweh just sat around, you know, put mankind on earth and just sat around for 6,000 years and then all of a sudden puts up a picket sign saying, "Oh, 2 billion of you come over here." Does it work like that? Do trees and plants just one day appear in your garden with all this fruit on it? No. For any kind of gathering to take place, you must have something to gather and you must have preparation before you gather. Now, what is this preparation? It's the mental preparation. Gathering our thoughts. Remember, the Peaceful Solution says thoughts lead to feelings, feelings lead to actions, and actions lead to rewards or consequences. Well, those who are here at the House of Yahweh today, were the first ones gathered for this last day's finishing work. You know, it amazes me the amount of planning that Yahweh put into. He laid out everything. It's so complex that it's hard to wrap your mind around every detail that Yahweh has laid out. It's like, wow, we only have a glimpse of this great plan. Now, if you look at the examples in the scriptures, you'll see that with each gathering that Yahweh did, He gathered a few first, and He trained them, and then He gave them a job to lead and guide, and gave them a massive project, leading hundreds, thousands, millions, and in these last days, we have the biggest job, which is gathering billions, 2 billion, and we must be ready for them. I'll be thinking about the gathering that Moshe did. Remember, he was first gathered, him and his brother were gathered, and they were trained, and so on and so forth, to bring the children of Egypt, children of Israel out of Egypt. And there's many examples in the scriptures. So let's start from our own gathering. Many of us from here, from there, from afar, we all came here. We gathered here. Be thinking about the mental agriculture. Yahweh prepared the soil long before the world began. He planned every fine detail. Where you would be born, who your parents would be, and where you would be today, leading from the time that He set to open your mind to His way. Pastor has brought out many sermons about the genetics and the DNA and things like that. Now think of your life as a garden. Your life is Yahweh's garden. The soil is your mind. You can't just plant anything there. Yahweh planted the seed in our minds, and we started to grow as plants in a garden. Remember when you first heard about Yahweh? Yahweh didn't just throw seeds out there and just let them grow. Plants won't grow that way. He cares for them, and He gives them the things that they need to become beautiful and bring forth fruits. Now, different types of plants need different care. Some need more sun, some need more shade, some need less water, some need more water. Some can handle storms where others can't, and some need certain nutrients. Now compare this to all of us, how Yahweh gives us everything we need to grow, and He allows us to patiently, He's patient with us and allows us to grow. And this is the training process that Yahweh has offered to us, and we'll be found acceptable if we take this training and bear fruits of righteousness. Remember what Yeshua said, a righteous tree will bring forth fruits of righteousness. Now, the weeds are those of Satan, those that are unfit for consumption. You can't use them. They're there, and some of them are beautiful and bear fruit, but they are all poisonous. That's the deception of Satan. And Satan also, she mixed his seed. Yahweh can't use them. Mixed seed is the mixture of righteousness and evil. Now, all those who take this training seriously, they will be the ones who will be given the positions of authority, of leadership, to lead others. They will be given what Yahweh promised to us, found in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, the rulership over all that he has created. And those who apply these laws in their lives, they will be seen. It will be seen in their actions. We were all gathered here to qualify for a leadership position to gather the rest of Yahweh's remnant. Well, how do we become ready to gather the rest of Yahweh's remnant? I'd like to read Galatians 6, verse 7 through 9. Found on page 914. Do not be deceived. Yahweh is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh, from the flesh will reap corruption. But he who sows to Yahweh, from Yahweh will reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary of doing righteousness, for in due time we will reap if we do not faint, if we endure unto the end. Now, when we have all been trained in righteousness, you know, we come here, we're baptized, we make vows to Yahweh, we're all responsible for the actions and the example that we set for others, and being mindful of our conduct. Proverbs says that even a child is known by their actions. And some of these examples that we should be setting, you know, greeting everyone with kindness, being a willing servant, keeping the dress code, salting our food, praying three times a day, being respectful to everyone, and so on and so forth. Now, a lot of people, when they come to the house of Yahweh, they expect everyone to be perfect. You know, that's a pretty high expectation. We're not all perfect yet, but we are the only ones on earth that are striving for perfection. Praise Yahweh. The best we can do is to set a righteous example with the smallest of things, the elementary things, as Pastor calls it. He talks a lot about it in the Going On to Perfection series found in the second book of Israel. If we have been educated as leaders and teachers of righteousness, we're responsible for the example that we set. We are Yahweh's representatives. If we know the lawful way to dress and we don't do it, who are we representing? Satan. If we're disrespectful, who are we representing? If we don't serve everyone with a humble and willing attitude, who are we representing? We're representing Satan. So let's not be hypocrites, as Yeshua said. Let's all shine as the brightness of the heavens and be a righteous example, and let your light shine. So let's remember to maintain our mental agriculture, because when we bear fruits of righteousness, we can be instruments that Yahweh uses to gather his remnant in these last days. And with this, I'd like to turn it over to the next speaker. Shalom, great saints of Yahweh, you may be seated. Is everyone enjoying their royal feast? Are you becoming more royal and loyal? Yes. You're trying to, right? So the title of my speech today is, When Does the Olive Branch Put on Its Purple? Yeshua, our high priest, provided us that answer when he told us to learn the parable of the fig tree. Now let us begin this tree talk. As you know, the kingdom of Yahweh is compared to many trees. Do you remember in Matthew 13, we learned about the mustard seed? And even though it started small, the mustard tree is growing tall and standing tall, doing the greatest work mankind has ever seen. And all nations will eventually come and gather under this huge mustard tree to be fed from. So let us follow Yeshua now on the parable of the fig tree. Turn over to Matthew 32, verses 33, found on page 753. Matthew 24, verses 32 through 33. And it reads, Now learn a parable from the fig tree. When its branches become tender and puts out leaves, you know that summer is near. In the same way, when you see all these things, know that his coming and the end of all age is near, at the very door. Yeshua gave us this answer so we can understand the time and season in which we live. Now let's turn our focus today on the olive tree. My question to you is, when does the olive branch put on its purple? Well, the olive branch has already put on its purple. Overseer Yisrael Hawkins, also known as the olive tree and chosen branch, is wearing purple and has brought the congregation of the house of Yahweh to this purple state, where we all are ready to be harvested. Yeshua said, when you see all these things, know that the kingdom of Yahweh is at hand. So I have some interesting facts about the olive branch from softschools.com. So did you know the color of the olive depends on the maturity of the fruit? The olive branch puts on purple when its fruits are fully ripened, ready for harvest. Did you know the largest type of olive tree is called the donkey olive? Just as the olive is connected to its branch, the donkeys in these last days is tethered to the chosen branch. Did you know olives cannot be consumed directly from the tree? Harvested olives need to be processed with brine before they become tasty. In the same way, Yahweh purifies us with salt, which is his laws. Then we become the salt of the earth. Did you know the olive branch is a symbol of peace? Just as we, the house of Yahweh, is bringing peace to this dying world. Now that we can see that we are the purple olives connected to a chosen branch, Yahweh has gathered us as his first fruits of his harvest. While we are still on the topic of gathering, we know that the 2 billion are coming, but let's focus today on those who have already been gathered. That's you and I, sisters, and why we are here. When we do this, we are able to better understand and perform our purpose. So let's examine who Yahweh has gathered and the many names he has given his last work. So we are the first fruits of Yahweh's harvest, the last that has become the first. Turn over with me to Revelations 14, verses 4. Revelations 14, verses 4, found on page 980. These are the ones who were not defiled with women, forbidden assemblies, for they are virgins cleansed and pure. These are the ones who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. These were redeemed from among men, the first fruits to Yahweh and to the Lamb. Yahweh gathered us, the seed of Abraham, whom he guarded and protected down through 6,000 years. Genesis 12, verses 3, found on page 9. Genesis 12, verses 3. We heard the scripture recently. Now it says here, "And I will bless those who bless you, and curse him who curses you, and in you shall all families of the earth be blessed." We are also the seed of Israel, whom Yahweh has gathered and poured his spirit upon. In Isaiah 44, verses 3. Isaiah 44, verses 3, found on page 558. And it says, "For I will pour water upon him who is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground, and I will pour out my spirit upon your seed, and my blessings upon your offspring. For we are now living stones which Yahweh has gathered to build up into a spiritual house, which is the house of Yahweh." 1 Kefa 2:5, found on page 958. And it says here, "You also, as living stones, are being built into a spiritual house, the house of Yahweh, to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to Yahweh through Yeshua Messiah." Okay, and we are also described as the Lamb's Bride. In Revelations 19, verses 7 through 8. Okay. Found on page 9, Revelations 19, verses 7 through 8. Okay. Found on page 983. Okay. And it says here, "And I saw a Malak standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying, To all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourself together to the supper of the great Father, that you may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and of those who sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, small and great." Okay, last but not least, but this one I truly love, the holiest of the holy people. Where are they found? Does anybody know? the holiest of the holy people. In the house of Yahweh, yes, the holiest of the holy people are sitting right here. You and I have gathered and selected to become the holiest of the holy. And please turn over to Daniel 9, verses 24. Found on page 681. Okay. And it says here, 70 weeks are determined upon your people and upon your holy city to finish transgressions, to make an end of sin, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring an everlasting righteousness, to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the holiest of the holy people. And these holiest of the holy people will bring an end to sin. Now, the sole reason we are all gathered here is to finish Yahweh's seventh era plan. We're the last remnant running the final race. Think of it as a relay race of seven laps, and now the baton has been handed down to the last generation, to these sprint runners. We, the house of Yahweh, who are called, were chosen to do the greatest and the quickest works. Okay. Now that you fully understand why we are gathered, the whole plan of Yahweh, beginning to end, is depending on us. When you know who you are, then you understand your purpose. When we look through the entire scriptures, Yahweh has shown us his plan for you and I. Just as his shepherd, and he guided us and he gathered his prophecies, he has done the very same for us. Great house of Yahweh, aren't you the most blessed people on the face of the earth? Count it a joy to be here. Remember, we not only have the obligation for those who are asleep, but also the soon approaching 2 billion to complete Yahweh's work. In closing, be strong, be brave, stand in your place, endure until the end, for the crown of life is now at your arm's reach. Great house of Yahweh, can you see it? Okay, and with this, I'll turn it over to the next speaker.
Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. The title of my speech today is Take Responsibility and Stand in Your Place. Great House of Yahweh, the greatest gathering is upon us, and it's up to us to be a part of it. We are all responsible for our own salvation and remaining in this great race to enter into Yahweh's great kingdom and to be a part of this amazing gathering. It's up to us. It's not really given to us. We have an opportunity, but it's up to us to remain in it forever, to stand in our place. The kingdom of Yahweh is not guaranteed. We have to work for it, and we have to put that effort in every single moment. And we have to be determined, making a conscious effort to overcome all sin while diligently practicing Yahweh's laws every single day. I'd like you to turn over to Matithia, please. Matithia 5:48, and that's page 732. Matithia 5:48, page 732. And it reads, "Therefore, become perfect, just as your Father who is in heaven is perfect." Yahweh has requirements for us, so we may enter into his kingdom and receive eternal life. And now, can you turn over to Deuteronomy 10:12? And that's page 156. Deuteronomy 10, verse 12, page 156. And it reads, "And now, O Israel, what does Yahweh your Father require of you but to reverence Yahweh your Father by walking in all his ways, by loving him, by serving Yahweh your Father with all your heart and with all your soul." Great House of Yahweh, we are in the midst of the greatest gathering to ever take place. 2 billion plus people will be coming here. They're coming here to look for us to help them, to serve them. We are the ones that are going to have the answers for them, and they're going to look to us to help them. There's going to be all kinds of things we haven't been faced with, and it's up to us now to study, to remain in this great house of Yahweh and read those books, read the prophetic words each month, keep all the classes you possibly can, and it's up to us to get all the kinks out of our own lives. It's very important to get the worldly influences out of our lives to rid our lives of the distractions that are taking us away from being a part of this great gathering. any kind of worldly influences. We need to get them out. It's not worth it. You know how they always say the grass is greener on the other side? It's never greener. Like, ever. It's never greener. This is where the grass is green. Right here. Praise Yahweh. We should be tethering ourselves to Yahweh's chosen branch and take responsibility for our own salvation. The kingdom of Yahweh is not guaranteed. And so taking responsibility for our own lives, our own salvation, it's up to us. And it's up to us to teach our children. And if we're not teaching ourselves, how can we teach our children properly? If we fail, they fail. We have to work for it. We should be fighting for it every single day. Now, can you turn over to Matithiah 7:21, page 733. Matithiah 7:21. And it reads, "Not everyone that says to me, 'Teacher, teacher,' will enter into the kingdom of Yahweh, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." House of Yahweh, we need to get the limiting beliefs out of our heads. You know those thoughts that tell you, "It's too hard, I can't do it, I'm tired, I'm sick," whatever the reason is, whatever the excuse is. Anything that stops you from doing the work, from studying, from keeping Yahweh's laws. All those limiting thoughts and actions, we have to get rid of them. And we need to get that out of our head and replace it with the positive thoughts, those peaceful thoughts, those thoughts that tell you you can do it and you can get through this. "I can overcome all sin. I will make it into the kingdom of Yahweh. I love the house of Yahweh more than all else, and I will stand in my place." These are the thoughts that we have to keep into our mind and keep into our head. When anytime anything negative comes in, repeat some sort of phrase that's positive from Yahweh in our scriptures that will help ground us. We have to push that out of our head. You see, I know you're tired. I know it gets hard some days. And I know the daily grind can get you down some days. And it feels like you can't make it some days. Sometimes you can't even make it another hour. But you need to tell yourself you can do this. You have to believe you can get through this. You have to see the light at the end of the tunnel. And that light is Yahweh putting that crown on you, basically. Seeing Yeshua entering into his kingdom. Praise Yahweh. And that has to be your goal. That has to be that focus point for you. You have to see it. You have to see that light at the tunnel. Because if you don't see that, it's what are you working for? What are we doing all of this for? There's a reason why we're doing this. And you have to have that focus point. And you have to believe you can do it. And have those positive thoughts. There's nothing outside in the world better than what we have right here. There's nothing outside. Sometimes you might miss something, foods or doing things or whatever it is, but it's not worth it. It only leads you back into sin, leads you back into Egypt, into that worldly lifestyle that we've fought to get out of. And it's just not worth it. The grass is greener here. We need to remain in our place here and stay grounded. Yahweh has carried us this far through all those other hard times that you never thought you'd get through. All those times where, how am I going to get through this? How am I going to do this? And you never thought you could, but you always did. Every single time, you always got through it. Every single time. And same with all the ones in the future. You're going to have more hard times. It's going to be tough, but you have to believe you can get through it. You have to know you can. And you tell yourself you can do it. Great House of Yahweh, we need to be thankful. We need to be thankful that we're called out. We need to be thankful we're a part of this great gathering. And not take a moment of it for granted. It's a special thing what we have. It's a special thing that we have these feasts, that we have the Sabbath, that we have that protection. The world knows nothing of it. And that's why they're sick, they're dying, and they're crying. We need to take this very seriously and be responsible. It's time for us to be responsible for our own salvation and our own lives. A lot of people are depending on us, and I know we can do this. It's just up to us, and put your mind to it. And for my last scripture, if you can please turn over to Matthew 6:33, page 733. And it says, "But seek you first the kingdom of Yahweh and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." Great House of Yahweh, it was an honor to speak before you today, and I pray you gain some new inspiration today and to stay in your place forever. Yahweh bless you all.
Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. The title of my speech is, "It's not just about you. It's about you, and you, and you, and you back there, and you over there. It's about all of you, and it's about 2 billion people. Father Yahweh is gathering to the house of Yahweh for the greatest gathering in these last days. It's about you." In Genesis 49, verse 10, in the King James rendition, it says, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. In the book of Yahweh, it says, until he comes, to whom tribute belongs, and the obedience of the nations is his. So we know that obedience and gathering are synonymous. And we know that we must gather in order to learn how to become obedient at the house of Yahweh, which is the place of gathering. Amosha 3, verse 7 tells us that most assuredly, Father Yahweh will have no other work than the work that he has prophesied by his servants in advance. And he tells us in Deuteronomy 12, verse 5, that we're to seek the habitation of Yahweh, the place Father Yahweh will establish from among all our tribes, and there we must go. And then he tells us in Matthias 6, 33, to seek the kingdom of Yahweh and his righteousness. And guess what? All these will be added to you. So where's the place? Well, the prophets kind of laid out for us exactly where it is. In Isaiah 2:2 and in Micaiah 4:1, it says, "It will come to pass in the last days." We're in the last days. It's come to pass here that the mountain, the promotion of the house of Yahweh, will be established in the chief of the nations, the United States of America. And it will be raised above all congregations, and all people will eventually flow to it, that's gathered to it. All nations will gather to it. Prophecy was fulfilled when the House of Yahweh in Abilene, Texas, was legally established in 1983. We, the House of Yahweh, gather together in obedience to the laws of Yahweh, and on all his Sabbath days, feast days, and his new moons. We, the house of Yahweh, will let no man condemn us for doing these things, which are a shadow from things to come. Will we, house of Yahweh? Praise Yahweh. Because he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High will abide under the shadow of the Almighty. The house of Yahweh is the protected place. And Yahweh tells us in Isaiah 58, verse 13 and 14, if you turn your foot from breaking my Sabbath day and you call my Sabbath day a joy and a delight, he tells us, I'm going to feed you with the heritage of Yaakov. And in Hebrews 10, 25, it tells us not to forsake the gathering of ourselves together as the manner of some 4,199 religions of Baal are doing right now, but he tells us to exhort one another. And so much more, because you know the day is right at hand. And our commission is to learn to be those teachers so that we can teach others Yahweh's ways. And there is nothing that I think any one of us wants to do at this time but to guard and keep Yahweh's laws, do we? Praise Yahweh. We are taught the laws and prophecies crystal clear by Pastor Yisrael Hawkins, the branch, who is the man of Yahweh. Do you agree? And in Matthew 24, 14, this joyous message of the kingdom of Yahweh is being preached right now in all the world at the house of Yahweh in Abilene, Texas, by the witness Yisrael, for Yahweh truly is with him. He will preach this message to all nations, and the end will come. Yahweh is gathering people through the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program, through the Tell a Vision, through the Prophetic Word Magazine, through the Yisrael Says Program, through Ask Yisrael. I mean, he's got it going on. He's doing it. He's awesome. And I want to say, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit, the Yochanan 6:63 says to you, what the Spirit says to the called out ones. All who are hearing of the message of the kingdom of Yahweh from the four corners of the earth and see that the house of Yahweh is the truth, you better be sure that Father Yahweh is calling you to his house right now to learn and to gather with his people here so that we may help you through Yisrael Hawkins, through the great priest, because the priest's lips at the house of Yahweh keep knowledge. Praise Yahweh. Come out from among them, my people, says Father Yahweh. Touch not the unclean thing. I will receive you. The Spirit and the bride, because you're the bride of Yahshua. What do we say, house of Yahweh? We say, come. Yes, come. Come, all who are thirsty, and drink freely, freely of the water of life. Yahweh tells us in Yeremia 23, verse 3, that he's going to gather his remnant from all the places that they've been scattered. And he tells us in verse 4, he's going to set shepherds over them that are going to feed them. And these people are not going to be afraid anymore. And I want to say, house of Yahweh, do you know who those shepherds are going to be? You little donkeys are going to be the shepherds. Are you ready to shepherd these people? Do you remember when Yahshua Messiah asked Kepha, Kepha, do you love me? Kepha kept saying to him, I love you, yes. And he asked him three times, and finally he said to him, if you love me, then you'll feed my lambs. Yahshua Messiah is telling you, house of Yahweh, who love him right now. If you love me, and I know you do, feed the 2 billion lambs that I am gathering to my house. Praise Yahweh. And I can see that you're excited. This gathering will be so great that they're no longer going to be talking about the Exodus that Moshe, when he brought the children out of Egypt. They're going to be talking about the house of Yahweh, where they have been gathered in these last days forever. Forever. House of Yahweh, I want to tell you how thankful I am for every one of you. For your participation in the faith. From the first time that this message was preached until this time, and for what you will be doing in the kingdom of Yahweh. Because I know, because it's prophesied that Yahweh will continue to do the righteous works that he is doing in you until the coming day of our King Yeshua Messiah. And he's coming soon. The scepter will soon depart from Yada. It sure will. Because Yeshua Messiah is coming, and the obedience of the nations are going to be his. And Yeshua Messiah, we have drank of your cup. We are willing. And we say, come, Yeshua Messiah, come. I don't want you to forget. It's not just about you. It's about you and you, you, you in the back there over there, all of you. It's about the 2 billion people Father Yahweh is gathering from all the nations that will be the greatest gathering that will be spoken of for eternity. Yahweh bless you, and I will turn it over to the next speaker.
Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. And I am going to be expounding upon the ends of the earth. And if you could show the map, please, while I read this. On 4:5:15, Feast of Unleavened Bread, the 15th book of Yisrael, verse 63, the overseer brought this out. He was saying, that the house of Yahweh in 1934, the witness is born so he could establish the house because Zechariah 6 shows that he and Yeshua would work together there. They would actually work together establishing the house of Yahweh, and this even tells you that this witness would come from the ends of the earth. Look up Oklahoma, and on the map, I highlighted where Oklahoma is situated in the United States, and it's approximately in the middle south of the United States, and southwest of Oklahoma is Texas. So you have a general idea of where this the overseer was saying and the scriptures are saying from the ends of the earth. Okay, thank you. Now, one of the priests had brought out about, gave us some really great information on 1934, on Yezo Hawkins, his birth, the history of his life. And what I want to do is I'm going to show you what led up to the great land rush of 1889. And everybody knows that according to history, that America was discovered in 1492 by the Catholic Church, which was Christopher Columbus. And again, they established the country, they settled the country, but they were surprised to find people already living in the United States. And these were the indigenous tribes, is what they called. And we know that these were members of the lost tribes of Israel. These were members of the tribes of Israel that crossed over that great land bridge up north and Brent came down into the United States, into Canada, into Mexico, South America, and they lived in these lands. And the Catholic Church wanted the land, so that's why they developed the land of this, the law of discovery. And that said that anybody who did not follow the Catholic Church lost their lands, and the Catholic Church took it over. So that followed through into the United States. And yes, the Catholic Church took over the lands of the United States just like it took over all the other lands. We have a constitution that says we have freedom of religion, freedom of speech, and that was established by Yahweh so that his house could be established and the pastor could bring forth his righteous laws in these last days. That is prophecy being fulfilled. But the Catholic Church tried really hard to take over and have complete control of the United States. And it started in 1830. In 1830, they passed the Indian Removal Act, which was passed by Congress, which legalized the removal of all Indians east of the Mississippi to lands west of the river. And this led to, in 1836, which would be, no wait, no, that's the wrong one. Which would, the next one would be the Trail of Tears, which is when they took all of the Indian tribes in the eastern region and moved them all to Oklahoma, which was considered to be the last land of civilization. That's where the ends of the earth came into being, because that was where they moved all of the Indian tribes on the eastern coast. The northeast, the east, and the southeast were all moved to Oklahoma. There was also tribes from the west that was moved to Oklahoma. And in the process of this Trail of Tears, lots and lots of families and tribes were killed in the process of moving them. Now, the other thing that they wanted to do is these rich English people wanted to take over the land. And I have this article. It is from the Atlantic Daily. And it says, the title of it says, "Kill Every Buffalo You Can." Every buffalo dead is an Indian gone. Now, this led up to the land rush. And what they did was, this was led by the by Buffalo Bill Cody, of all people. And at the time, they says, this is what the Army says, "The Army was not in the business of guiding hunting trips for the soft-skinned Wall Streeters, but was in the business of controlling the Native Americans in the area. And that meant killing the buffalo. One colonel 4 years earlier had told a wealthy hunter who felt a shiver of guilt over after he shot 30 bulls in one trip. Kill every buffalo you can. Every buffalo dead is an Indian gone. So that was their way of eradicating the Indians. And does anybody remember Henry Kissinger, 1974? Him and Nixon came up with the idea of food as a weapon. That was not a new idea. The Catholic Church used food as a weapon in order to eradicate the Indians, the American Indians, the indigenous people in the United States, to eradicate them so that they could take over the United States. But Yahweh said, you know, Satan, you can do what you want, but you are not going to stop my plan. Because even though the buffalo were eradicated, even though they almost decimated the buffalo, that's how bad it was, and even though the Catholic Church thought they were winning, you know, they gave the Indians these reservations, took them away, gave them again, took them away, gave them again. The Indians are still here. They're still worshiping Yahweh in the way that they can. Satan tried to destroy all righteousness. And if, let me find this one page. Okay, one of the things is in Revelations 12:16, and the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of her mouth. The earth helped the woman. Yahweh used the earth to protect the overseer, the great witness in these last days. He lived in Oklahoma. The land rush opened up the whole West to all of the evil of these rich people, which left Oklahoma without anybody. So the overseer was raised in an area where these influences were not there. So he was actually protected by the earth. And as we know, just recently, on May 9th, 2016, this is when President Obama was still in office, he signed the National Bison Legacy Act, making the American bison, or the buffalo as it's more often called, the national mammal. And as it's been brought out in prophecy, the white buffalo, okay, this is Yahweh's way of showing the overseer that, yes, you are doing as I asked. Yes, your seed is doing as you asked. And yes, Yeshua and I are very joyful in seeing you bring forth the prophecy that you have been asked to bring. And with that, I'd like to turn it over to the next speaker.
Shalom, great saints of Yahweh. Please be seated. I want to first say that I did not get with my sisters beforehand. We didn't coordinate any of this ourselves. But I'd like you to keep in mind what some of the previous speakers have talked about with this great gathering and our purpose and the things that we have to do to prepare. I've entitled my portion today, Focus. And I'd like to start off with a quote from our great pastor and overseer, Israel Hawkins. For your notes, this is in the second book of Israel, chapter 1, verse 20. The very highest being in the universe has written you a letter inviting you to be a part of his staff. I'd like to focus this morning on what that means and the job that we have before us. When you think of 2 billion people coming, it can be overwhelming to think that we will be teaching, leading, guiding them. But it's doable. We can do this, and we don't have to do it alone. Yahweh himself has invited us to be a part of this, and he's given us everything that we need to succeed, starting with our overseer, Israel Hawkins, to teach us. The question is,
Are we using what he's given us to the best of our abilities? In a recent speech class, I asked another question, but you weren't all there, so I'm going to ask you all today, and I want to see a show of hands. How many of you want to be a part of teaching the whole universe? That's your goal. You can put two up if you're really eager. Okay, so I see just about every hand in here. Now, I do not want to see a show of hands for this next question. I want you all to keep your hands down. But how many of you can actually picture yourself doing it? Just think about that for a minute. I have two main points that I'd like to impress on you today. The first one is that we cannot let self-doubt keep us from that goal. I'm going to repeat that. We cannot let self-doubt keep us from that goal. We need to form that picture in our minds of us teaching first the 2 billion and then the universe, because this gathering's coming of 2 billion, but that isn't even our main job. And in order to succeed, we have to have that picture in our minds of us succeeding at that. And I don't have time this morning to go into all the reasons of why and how it works, but if we don't internalize that image of ourselves teaching, then our subconscious minds can defeat us. So today let's talk about how we can do it. Because remember, it's doable. Yahweh has given us the tools. The gathering's begun, and we were gathered first in order to teach, lead, and guide those coming. We just have to focus. Now, I have an acronym for you for that, and I have to admit that I did not come up with this. But the very first time I heard it, I made this card for my desk so that I could see it often, so that I would reach my goals. Follow one course until successful. I'll repeat that. Follow one course until successful. Focus. Let that sink in for a second. If we just stay the course, we keep going until we get there. We will get there. The very highest being invited you and invited me. Do you really think that he'd do that if we didn't have it within our power to succeed? He wants us to succeed, and his plan depends on it. For your notes, Hebrews 11, verses 39 and 40. Now remember, Hebrews 11, called the faith chapter, lists a whole lot of saints that you'll recognize, men and women, that were very righteous. But verses 39 and 40 is where I want to focus. And all these, having obtained a righteous report through the faith, have not received the promise. Yahweh having provided some better thing for us, that they, without us, would not be made perfect. So they're depending on us. So my first point is that we cannot let that self-doubt keep us from reaching that goal. And my second point is that what we focus on is what we will succeed at. I'm going to repeat that for you. What we focus on is what we will succeed at. So where are our thoughts going during the day? We will become what we think about. That's one reason it's so important to focus on the image of us reaching the goal that Yahweh has set before us. And I have two scriptural references for you that we will become what we think about. The first one is Proverbs 23, verse 7. Proverbs 23, verse 7. For as he thinks in his mind, so the same way he is. The second one is Proverbs 27, verse 19. That's 27:19. As a face is reflected in water, so a man's mind reflects the man. We become what we think about. Everyone in this room made it to the feast. When you set out on your journey, whether it was near or far,
Did you have a doubt that you'd make it here? You mapped out your plan, whether it was by car, plane, train, whatever method, if you walked here locally. You planned out your route, and you may have had obstacles placed in your way. So if something caused a delay, you adjusted yourself, because obviously you made it here. So you adjusted yourself to meet those challenges. And the job that we have in these last days is no different. But Yahweh has set out our course. He's mapped out our journey, and he even provided our traveling companions. We just need to adjust ourselves to meet the challenges that come our way and stay focused to follow that course until we succeed. This gathering is like a snowball going downhill. It started really small, but it's going to keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger as we near the end, and it's going to gain speed as well. They're going to start coming pretty rapidly when they come, and we need to be ready. The people coming that they're not going to be perfect. They're going to have problems and challenges just like we've had, and we need to be patient, loving examples for them as they find their place in this great work. We need to focus now on obtaining the knowledge so that we can learn what to teach, then teach what we've learned. We have a great job to do in these last days, and we will do it. I picture myself first teaching, leading, and guiding the 2 billion, then going on to the universe, and I picture you right there beside me. So share my vision and focus. Don't let that self-doubt in, and we'll be there together doing this work. It's been a complete honor and privilege to speak in front of the called out ones of the House of Yahweh in these last days who are leading this great gathering. And I'd like to turn the podium over to the next speaker, Ms. Yahweh.
Shalom, great purple saints of Yahweh. You may be seated. The title of this speech is Yisrael Surnamed Himself at Yahweh's Perfect Time. In the Two Witnesses book, on page 193, Yisrael writes, "There were so many of what man would certainly call coincidences in the change of my name to Israel. So many, in fact, that it became readily apparent that it was Yahweh guiding this to take place." And then he says an instance when they were getting ready, he was on the phone with the lawyer, and then the woman came and said, no, we have it spelled wrong, so they had to postpone it. So on page 94 it says, "Had it not been for Yahweh's guidance in this matter, my name would have been spelled differently than what Yahweh's prophecies proclaimed. It was the next week, on March 13, 1982, that the judge granted the name change legally, thereby fulfilling prophecy that the witness Israel would do this very thing. March 15, 1982. I went to 3:15 in the Hebrew, and it means after his brother, behind or after brother. Now, you know, Israel was the brother that came second. He's the second of the two witnesses. So that's speaking about him. And it also means to necessitate, compel, urge, or push, to make necessary. Remember when the overseer said it was on his mind continually? He couldn't even think properly because it was always at the forefront of his mind that he wanted to change his name to give honor to Great Father Yahweh. Well, that's what this is all speaking about. And 1982 means a journey, to walk. It may be used to emphasize that a certain thing occurred. In other words, to actually do the action, which comes from the Greek 1982, means to cast a shadow upon. Psalm 91, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High will abide under the shadow of the Almighty." So we see that Yisrael has always been under the shadow, the protection of Yahweh. It also says of brilliancy, to invest with preternatural influence. The idea of a cloud as symbolizing the immediate presence and power of Yahweh. And I thought, wow, that was all Yahweh doing that for him, helping him discern himself at the perfect time. And that by the end of this speech, you'll see why it is the perfect time, 3:15. About a month ago, I was studying, and I needed to look something up on Israel Hawkins Says program. Well, I got there, and it took me to the first book of Israel. And when I got there, I read what I needed to read, and I forgot it. I forgot all about what I was even reading about because I wanted to see what the title of that sermon was. So I scrolled down or up or however it is on there, and it didn't give the title. But when I was looking at it, verse 3 caught my eye. And at that point, I forgot why I was in the first book of Israel to begin with, because it reads in verse 1, and this is the first book of Israel, chapter 35. It says, I did not know the subject of crows was so interesting. We got a bunch of notes about that talking crow. I did not say I understood him. I said he talks to me. He sits on the back of my car. I think he's waiting on me to come out. He will sit there, and I can hear him hollering, caw, caw. I think he means Israel, but I'm not sure. Well, today we'll find out what that crow is saying. I looked in the gematria of caw, caw, and it was 1808. It means something dangling as a branch. He was calling out to the branch. And it means to deliver, to draw out enough. And it says in 1809, to slacken and be feeble and to be oppressed and to be brought low, dried up, not equal. And it went to Psalm 79, verse 8, because I really didn't understand what Yahweh was trying to say. But in Psalm 79, verse 8, it says, do not hold against us the iniquities of our fathers. May your tender mercies come speedily to meet us, for we have been brought very low. When you look up that word tender, of course it goes back to the tender branch, Israel Hawkins, that has grown tender in these last days. So it goes on to, in the Greek, 1808, means to remove and put away, take away, to put away. And it goes to 1537, denoting origin, often used of completion. And if you remember, that 1537 was also used in the gematria of the house of Yahweh, the gematria of the book of Yahweh. And now it's also in Kaw Kaw, calling out Israel. And it also goes to 142, which we've heard yesterday about to raise up, the Nassau, the be bringing close. And it also means to raise the voice like a trumpet. Isaiah 58, verse 1 says, and he will cry out, spare not, lift your voice like a trumpet. And the overseer does that. So now, I always write down when Yahweh shows me something, the date. And when I went to write down the date, I was like, wow. The date was March 15th, 2017, just as the date that Israel was named, 3/15/1982, 35 years earlier. The chapter in this book is chapter 35. I said, I think Yahweh's trying to tell us something here. So I continued on asking Yahweh what I need to see about this, what he wants to show. Do you think it was really the crow that was crying out to Yahweh? I looked up the word crow and in the Strong's, and it's number 5455. But in Luke 8:8, it says, that's Yeshua says, he cried out, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Now that word cries is the same word as crow. So was it the crow talking, or Yeshua using the crow to call to Israel? The crow means to emit a sound to address in words. It comes from the word phone, a voice, like as in Revelation 12:7, the voice of the seventh Malak when he will begin to speak. This work would be finished. It also means to lighten, to show, to shine, to be brought forth into light, to shine and to make magnificent, to give light. It must be very reassuring to the overseer to know that it's Yahweh and Yeshua calling out to him, crying out to him, supporting him, Yeshua doing what Yahweh told him to do is behold the branch and that he has sent. I, Yeshua, have sent my Malak, my messenger, in these last days to testify to you in the congregations of the house of Yahweh. That has to be very reassuring to know that our overseer is every step of his life is already being planned out for him by Yahweh and Yeshua doing their part. So praise Yahweh that we have that reassurance too, to know that the overseer never does anything on his own. It's always by the written word, always what's spoken of him. Now, there's one scripture . Would everyone please turn to Exodus 3:15? Now remember that those words, those numbers, 3:15. Exodus 3:15. Yahweh also said to Moshe, "This also shall you say to the children of Israel, Yahweh, the heavenly Father of your fathers, the mighty one of Abraham, the mighty one of Isaac, and the mighty one of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial, the name by which I am to be remembered by, from generation to generation for all generations." We are in the prophesied last days generation that was prophesied by the servants, the prophets. We must believe that. But not only that, do you see here? Yeah. Israel is Yahweh to us. And Yahweh gave us his name on 3:15 in Exodus. Yahweh named or allowed Israel to surname himself on 3:15, 1982. Is that not Yahweh showing us that he himself is guiding this man, this perfect man who is bringing us to perfection? May Yahweh continue to bless us and guide us as we seek to do his will and to reverence him always. Let us stand for the next speaker. Praise Yahweh.
Ta-da! Please be seated. So a while back, my daughter and I were in a craft store, and as we were walking through the aisles, we walked past a calendar stand. And so I keep going, and she comes running up behind me with one in her hand. She's like, "Mom, we have to get this calendar." And I'm like, no. We already have 3 House of Yahweh calendars at home. We do not need another calendar. She's like, "But we need this calendar." So I do my whole mom thing, and I'm like, "You give me one reason why we need this calendar." And she's like, "Well, Pastor's on it." So I'm like, "Where?" So she's like, "Well, right here." And she holds up the calendar, and it's the Horsehead Nebula picture on the back of the calendar. I'm like, "Oh." And then, of course, he's got his own with our High Priest Yeshua, you know, display in June. And I'm like, "Well, that's great enough reason for me. We'll get that calendar, you know." So, but I was thinking, you know, that's amazing to me. We know in Habakkuk 1:5, Yahweh says, "I will work a work in your days that you would not believe it if it were told to you." And I was thinking that I couldn't believe the odds that we walk in there, you know, and we see this Horsehead Nebula. It had been brought out in the sermons and so forth, and here it's on this calendar on display for all to see. But it's just these little reminders that, you know, Yahweh drops these seeds of righteousness here and there. They're distributed here and there. We don't always realize the work that he's doing in different places and dropping these little seeds here and there. And it's just, you know, it's amazing. We could ask every single person in this room, "Well, how did you hear about the House of Yahweh?" And we're all going to have different and unique stories. And You know, it's just so great how Yahweh shows his house in many different ways to the people that are coming. But in going in line with this theme for the gathering of this feast, I was remembering a documentary that I watched one time way back. And, you know, I love to learn about Yahweh's creation and the different things that, you know, you find out the different purposes behind different things. And this particular one was about the jungle and how the environment, that environment replenishes itself, and or at least one of the ways. And in the tropical forest, the gorillas of the jungle, they play a huge role in maintaining and building the forest. One of the wildlife experts were actually calling them the gardeners of the forest, and they feed on fruits and trees and plants, and then once their food is digested, it passes through their bodies and it falls onto the forest floor. And then insects come along and they eat those the waste. And then birds come along and they eat the insects. And then the birds fly around and then the seeds distribute all over in all these different areas. And then new plants and trees are formed. And so every single part of this forest, this jungle that Yahweh had made, has a working part in building that, you know, for its health and its growth of the forest. And it made me think, you know, in this scenario, am I doing every single thing that I can to be beneficial and help and build the house of Yahweh? And with these animals, you know, they have animal instincts. They just do what they do because Yahweh put it in them for them to do. But with us, we have choices that we have to make. And those choices that we make, they affect this ecosystem, this body of believers, you know, and they even affect those on the outside of this body. And so we have a huge responsibility in assisting to drop these seeds of righteousness so that others can have their opportunity to come and do the same thing, because this is how it spreads. So we must always consider, you know, how we're conducting ourselves, so that we're showing that we can help to distribute our seeds properly to help this the people that are coming. And it can be the very smallest thing. If it's not proper, it's not going to produce that sweet, beneficial fruit that it needs to. And I can remember driving in the car one time, and my daughter was in the car with me, and every time I would stop at a stoplight, she would be doing this. You know, and I didn't know what she was doing. She didn't say anything to me. I didn't say anything to her. I go through another stoplight, we'd be sitting there, and she's doing this. So after about like four or five stoplights, I go through the stoplight, and she says, "Oh, so that's what yellow means, speed up." And I'm like, yeah, so about that yellow light. And then with children, then you're trying to explain, okay, so no, yellow doesn't mean speed up. So you did the opposite, you know, so then it starts getting worse because you're like, I don't know, you know, so, but it's just those little things that you're learning because people study you and they may not ever, ever say a word, you know, but they're watching you and they're studying you and they're learning by your example, by our example, how they should act and conduct themselves. And so it's our responsibility in the very smallest things, you know, that we make sure that we're upholding what Yahweh says is right and pleasing in his sight, so that we're righteous examples, so that we can help spread those righteous examples to others so they can do the same. You know, teachers teaching teachers teaching teachers. So what are we teaching them? You know, think back to our examples. What we do in public, what we think we are doing, what we do when we think no one is looking. And in this world of always connected, right, there are less and less closed doors these days. Where you can just Google your name and your business is going to pop up. But even behind closed doors, we need to be right. So every time, you know, we've got a new deaconess, we always read to them out of Titus 2, where it says, it talks about the conduct of the called out ones. And I encourage all of us to rehearse that and to never forget that, because we're setting that example to the world. Everything that we do, everything that we're teaching, and my head always tells me, your examples will outweigh everything you say. He says that all the time. And it's so true. It is so true. So If wildlife experts call the gorillas the gardeners of the forest, then we need to be known as the gardeners of the world, right? We should be actively involved in producing this righteous fruit and helping to spread it throughout all the world. It's a huge job, but Yahweh called us to do it, and he did not call us to fail, right? He called us to succeed, and we will succeed. So, in conclusion, I want to remind everyone, to the faithful who are patient, long-suffering, and enduring these dark days, please remember Romans 13:12, where it says, "The night is nearly over. The day is almost here." And to all those who are hoping in this great distribution of righteousness, so that the message can continue to reach all of those who are waiting to hear it and to gather here, remember Habakkuk 2:3. "Though it seems slow, wait for it. For it will surely come. It will not delay." And in the end, all the waiting, the laboring, the enduring, you know, it will all prove worth it when we hear the words that we read in Matthew 25:23 also, that says, "Well done, righteous and faithful servant. You have been a faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your ruler." You know, it's all worth it, sisters. Hang in there, don't give up, and continue distributing those righteous seeds to all the world so that we can welcome all of the people from all around the world that are coming here starting now. Well, praise Yahweh. And with that, I would like to turn it over to the next speaker.
Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. My title today is Laying Down Our Lives. Laying Down Our Lives. I'm very blessed that when I came to the house of Yahweh, I came with my family, and they are still here today. And that is an awesome blessing, because I am constantly reminded of what it is like to love a sister. And if any of you ever met me and my sisters and I, we're completely different from each other. I'm the drama queen. Everybody agrees with that. I have another one she's just straightforward, very blunt, straightforward. And I have another one who's quiet, but she's very smart, and when she's ready to say something, you're like, "Oh, that is true." So, I mean, every one of us is different, but we love each other so much that I know I would lay down my life for them. But one thing is also true among the three of us is that they would never send for me. Every time I'm in a dramatic situation where I'm overthinking something, they're always quick to bring me back down to earth, because they're not willing for me to sin, nor are they willing to sin for me. But when there's a situation where they know I'm struggling and I need the help, they are willing to lay down their lives for me. Can you say that is true about you and your family and someone who you find really close, right? So laying down our lives, is it possible, though, when it's not flesh and blood? That's the challenge. You see that? Yahweh brings us all from different backgrounds with different ways of life. We're not the same flesh. We're not the same blood. We don't even have the same language sometimes. But can we lay down our lives for one another? I'm going to get emotional. I am, because I'm a drama queen, right? So, when I first came to the house of Yahweh, I actually came, when I moved down, I didn't have my family. So, I was by myself, but I was so blessed, because Yahweh immediately showed me that he already had a family here for me. He did. I was put under very beautiful, beautiful character. People with very beautiful character. And I'm going to name two in particular, Nora A and Nora B, because The pastor said it, you know, Nora, she humbly served quietly. So I'm going to keep them, you know, kind of undercover here, okay? I'm not going to reveal their name. They'll be like, oh my word, did you just expose me like that? But I worked with them for so long, then I moved on and so forth, but they were my foundation. They were everything to me, my family. And just recently, before feast, I had so much prepping to do to help make this feast awesome, and I love it. I love it. I really enjoy that. But I had a little reunion with them. Pastor sent me to work on, I don't know, did y'all like the pizza? Okay. Because that's what I was working on with a bunch of people, a lot of people. But I had a little family reunion with them because I haven't crossed paths with them for a while. I've been so busy. So when Pastor allowed me to go and work with them, I was like, oh, wow, it's like a family reunion. And amazingly, they never changed. They never changed because they still have this beautiful character about them. And let me explain. Nora A, she always taught me never to retaliate. Because sometimes when the workers would drop off all those work for us and we're like, oh my word, it's like fast work time and do we have to do it? Yes, you have to do it. We're going to stay until 3 o'clock in the morning. I'm like, ooh. And you want to retaliate. But she takes the situation, she makes it joyous. She's there with you. She's not pointing her fingers and telling you to do it yourself. She's doing it with you. And she's showing you that example. And she's making sure you succeed until the very end, until 3 o'clock in the morning, getting all of those work done. And that's what's beautiful about her. She does not teach us, never taught me, to retaliate, but to always enjoy the work. Nora, letter B. And I met her later on, but in the same area. And I'll never forget, because she's kind of like my sister, who's just straightforward, very straightforward. And at that time, I was very, you know, silly, young, silly, foolish. And I was given the opportunity to play supervisor. And, of course, she was guiding me. And then one day, she just, you know, set me aside and said, you know, if you are a supervisor, you really need to cut out that sarcasm. Because they're not going to take you serious. And I was like, oh. But her guidance. And she always taught me to work hard. Work hard, but always be compassionate. And so those are the things I learned from these Noras. And when I recently went over there to work with them again, one of the Noras, she saw that my pants was hanging really long and I was dragging it because I was trying to hurry up and roll up the pizza dough and all that stuff, put in the oven, you know, like, okay, I'm trying to feed more than 1,000 people. So while I was running around, she stopped me and she rolled up my pants legs, you know. I mean, she bent down. She's an elderly woman, but she can walk, like she walk run, okay. But she rolled up my pants, and she bent down, rolled up my pants, and I had a pizza tray and everything in my hands. And my mother, my flesh and blood mother, was there, and she just stopped and said, do not bend down. She could do that herself. She could do that. You are the old one. You don't do that to her. And that Nora in my heart came. And she just embraced me. She got up, she embraced me, and she said, she's like a daughter to me. And I'll never forget that. And it stuck in my mind all night. And I said, it's been years since I've worked with them, but they've never changed. They never changed. And the love is always there. It's always there. And I thought to myself, I am so blessed. I am so blessed that when Yahweh brought me here, He prepared for me a family. He prepared for me a family. Of course, my mom, you know, she shares me. She shares me. Like the way I share her, too. I mean, everybody calls her mama, too, so. But what occurs, there's my next question, when a person doesn't love you back? You know, when you love them, you love them, you serve them, and they're just not getting it that you're trying to love them. What occurs then? And I really have to say this, that Yahweh is not going to put all of us on the stake to die, right? Laying down our lives. Yahweh is not going to do that. Yeshua did that. But remember, we still have to be like Yeshua. So he's going to put us in situations where we are feeling like we are on that stake, you know, just dying. Because the test is so extreme, it's so hard. But remember, we are going to be right next to Yeshua. What do we have to go through that can qualify us to be as great as Yeshua, showing that only mankind can obtain this position because they've overcome and was willing to lay down their lives, even for those who do not love them. This is why it is so important for us to read always in our mind. I want you to read this with me. Yochanan chapter 13, verses 34 through 35, on page 831. Yochanan chapter 13, verses 34 through 35. I give you a new commandment. Remember, it's not new. It's renewed. It's to call to our remembrance. Yeshua said, I am calling to your remembrance this commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, so you also love one another. By this will all, let me repeat that again, all, know that you are my disciples by the love you have for one another. How was it that the disciples were able to learn to love each other? Because Yeshua was their example. The example is in the scriptures. He was patient. He was compassionate. He was long-suffering. He was willing to lay down his life for them. Whether they hated him, whether they loved him, he loved them all the same as his very own. And remember that all will know. They won't know us because we're wearing beautiful clothes. They won't know us because we can quote every single scripture. They won't know us because we're eloquent speakers. No, they will know us because when the multitudes of people come and they can't find that love because of all the suffering they've been through, and they see us loving one another, rolling each other's pants up to make sure we don't trip, tying each other's shoes, when they see that, they're like, whoa, this is the place. This is home. This is what I've traveled thousands of miles for, to find my family, to find that love that I sought forever. And it can only be offered here. But it's because we offer it. Because we offer it. That is our job, sisters. If you all please stand, I'd like to continue this teaching with the next speaker.
Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. May Yahweh bless your understanding. I would like to begin by saying, you know, as a parent or a teacher, we tend to deal with children at different times throughout our day. And because of that, we always have something called mommy stories. Because children, as we all know, always do the most amazing things, and we have to quote it and say, mommy stories. Anyhow, when dealing with my children, my go-to phrase for them is, "You so righteous," when they do something great, or "You so perfect," when they did the right thing, you know? So those are the lines I throw out to them. So one day, one of the children did something, I can't remember what, and I asked the child, listen to my words, okay? I asked the child, "Why did you do that naughty thing?" I wanted to know why she did it. So the child looked at me, started to cry, because every parent have that one drama child. They have, seriously, we have the one drama child. They're, you know, they, you have numerous children, but every single one are different, and you have that one child. So I have this one child. And she looked at me, tears in the eyes, and she's like, "I'm not naughty, I'm perfect." So as a parent now, you have no comeback for that. You just have to say, okay then, and try to deal with it another time, because in her mind, she did not do anything wrong. She is not naughty, and she is perfect. Because that's what I always tell them as the years go by. "You so righteous, you so perfect." So today I would like to speak about that one word, perfect. The word perfect is such a broad topic. It encompasses the whole book of Yahweh, because that is what the book of Yahweh, that is what the book of Yahweh is based on, perfection. Becoming perfect as our Father is perfect, or there's only one standard of perfection, Yahweh our Father. So today I would like to narrow it down and focus on one aspect, training our children. So please turn with me to Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6. Found on page 510. It's a very common scripture. We have read it billions of times. Verse 6, 510 page. "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." That is what Proverbs tell us. We must train our child. And we have to train these children. But why should we train our children? When should we train our children? So turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 7, on page 152. And verse 6 reads, "And the laws which I command you this day must be in your heart, and you must teach them diligently to your children." So this is when we must teach the laws to our children and train our children. And talk about them when you sit on your house, and when you walk on the road, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. So this is when we need to train our children at all times. Not when you're feeling okay, or when it is Sabbath day, or for class, or anything like that. It's all times. But why must we train our children? For one reason only, because of Yael. So turn with me to Yael chapter 2, verse 28, found on page 693. This is the reason why. And it says, "And it will come to pass afterward, I will pour my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters will prophesy or teach. Your old men will dream dreams, your young men will see visions." So this is why we must train our children. This is the reward, the end product of it. So they will be able to teach, they will be able to prophesy. They will become teachers of righteousness, because they will have crystal clear understanding in the ways of Yahweh and never depart from it. But sisters, all of this depends on us, the parents and the teachers, doing our job, laying the foundation, this foundation. I want you to remember what Yeshua asked in Matthew chapter 12, verse 48. Anybody remembers what he asks in Matthew chapter 12, verse 48? He asks, "Who is my brother? who is my sister, who is my mother, and insert the word right there, insert children, who are my children? And he answered, saying, whoever will do the will of my Father who is in heaven, the same is my brother and my sister, my mother and my children. So we all here sitting in this sanctuary are parents. We are the examples, we are the teachers and the trainers of these children. Yes, my topic is train up a child. And Yeshua Messiah taught, unless we are converted and become like little children who are humble and who are meek, we will not enter into the kingdom of Yahweh. Then we will be the greatest, and then we will be the greatest in the kingdom of Yahweh. This message is for every single one of us, because we are all children, because we have to develop the characteristics of children. Always willing, always humble, always meek. Recently, obviously, I was speaking about the disciples, and he said, when the disciples came to Yeshua, when you read it, and because of Christian teachings, you would think they were adults, but they were not adults. They were little children. He diligently teach these children. So he trained up these disciples. And he went more into it in the seventh book of Israel, part 2, chapter 17. So for your notes, I'll encourage you to read it, how we know they were little children. And it is also shown in Matitya chapter 4, chapter 20, and also in Yakanan, Mark chapter 1. You will see that when the disciples came to him, they were little children. They were not adults. So Yeshua trained these children, and you know what? Guess what? They were loyal to him. They stayed by his side. They did not leave him, right? Because he gave them that foundation, the right training and the right tools he gave them, the laws of Yahweh. So I'd like to briefly touch on some of the do's and don'ts in training your children. Number one, do have a lot of patience with children. At times, they will drive you a little. I'll leave it as that. But you must have patience with these children. You must. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 13, found on page 927, please turn there quickly. It reads, being patient with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, just as the Messiah forgave you, you must forgive them. But pay attention to the first line, be patient with one another. And this is a requirement when you deal with children, whether they are 4 years old or they are 29 years old or 50 years old. You must have this patience. You must have restraint and tolerance. And the thing is, we cannot get upset and we cannot get angry. You have to keep your cool at all times. Because you have to remember, they are learning too. I would like you to think back. What were you doing when you were their age? What were you doing? Right? I had to think really hard back in those days, and I cannot remember. But I can definitely tell you, I was not teaching righteousness, nor was I being trained in righteousness. So they have a head start. They are doing way better than we were. Do number two. You must always be a friend to your child. You must build that bond between parent and child. You must. Because as a child gets older, you want to have that communication open, right? So that when they run into problems or peer pressure, whatever, they will come to you and seek wisdom, because they trust you, because of that bond, they trust you. So you want to grow them to grow in that. We have to realize that Yahweh gifted us with these children and adults, right? To train. And Yahweh called each and every one of them. And we must look at them as the gems and jewels they are. They are valuable. So do number three. Do support your children. Do support your children when they are required to teach or ask to teach. Build them up when they have to do these jobs. You need to praise them and encourage them. Do number four. We must teach by example. Right? We have to teach by example. You cannot say one thing and do another. Because let me tell you a secret. Children, they have little ears and little eyes. They see everything. And they were quick to tell you what they saw. So when you think you did something in secret, the children are always there to see. Always. Right? So whenever you have an altercation with one another, as time goes by, remember your words and your actions. They pick it up. And sometimes they repeat it. They repeat it. Then the whole sanctuary knows. Right? So just what I tend to do now is when I go through those emotional ups and downs, I think to myself, keep my mouth shut and think before I say it out loud. Because if every negative word you say is written on your skin and you look in the mirror, would you like what you see? Would you like what you see? No, you will not. And these little children pick up everything. So we're going to go on to the don'ts. The number one don't, I only have one don't for now. Don't threaten children ever. Don't. Because you mustn't do this, even to children or adults, the ones you work with, the ones that are under you or above you. Don't ever do that. Okay? Because scripture tells us we must love our brothers as and our sisters as ourselves. Right? So you don't want to do that to them. At times we must put our feet in the other person's shoes and see what it is to walk a day in that one person's shoes. It's easy to say, oh no, if I was she, I would have done that. Or, she can't counsel me. She worse off than me. No. We cannot do these things, sisters. These things must not be among us. We cannot do these things. What examples are we teaching to our children? That they see and hear everything. Those little eyes and those little ears. They pick up everything. And the buck must stop with us. Our shortcomings, we do not need to pass it on to the further generations. We don't. It must stop with us. Because you don't want it going forward. They are the innocent ones in all of it. So whatever you have going on, stop it there. Sometimes you have to force yourself to do it at times. But we must, because we have to think about them. They are growing up, and you do not want them to leave. Or say, this is not for me, as they get older. Right? So that was my don't. Don't threaten children or even adults. So sisters, we must earnestly contend for this fate. Right? And I would like to ask you, are we able to drink of the cup of Yeshua Messiah? This is what has to be running through our mind every day. Are we able to drink of this cup? Or are we falling short? Right? So sisters, we cannot be lukewarm towards Yahweh anymore. We have to shape up. We cannot be cold one day, hot one day. We must burn for Yahweh every day, not lukewarm. Right? Because we have lots to lose. Salvation, because salvation is only offered here at the house of Yahweh. Right? It is. There's nowhere else out there that offers it. We're the only ones that call on the living Father. So sisters, no more lukewarms. We must choose this life and contend for the faith. I would like to thank you for this opportunity to speaking before the call out ones. I'll turn it over to the next speaker.
Shalom, you may be seated. I'd like to get right into it today. The title of my speech is The Blessing, How to Receive It. How many of you want to be blessed? Raise your hand. Great. I'd like to start off with Psalm 1, 1 through 3. That's Psalm 1, 1 through 3. And I want you to tell me what man this reminds you of when I read this scripture. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the unrighteous, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor who sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of Yahweh, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever this man does will succeed. Who do you know right now? There you go. Israel Hawkins, right? He is this blessed man. I want to tell you just a couple really quick things, and I'm going to move kind of fast because we're running short on time. The house of Yahweh is not just another place. This is not a place where you know, if you don't like it, you just go find another church, right? This is a prophesied place that Yahweh has chose. Yahweh has set this up. So if we find something we don't like, we have to fix ourselves. And you know what? I don't know about you, but lately I've been trying to do a lot of fixing. Am I the only one? Okay. So as we're doing our fixing and as we're trying to adjust ourselves to fit this great prophesied house, which remember, we can't just leave and go find another place. This is the place. So as we fix each other, right? Yes. Okay. Praise Yahweh. But as we fix each other, I want us to focus on, especially during this feast of getting the leavening out, look at the person sitting next to you. Look at the person behind you. Now, picture in your mind maybe people that live with you that might not be sitting on this side of the wall. Okay, you got that mental picture? Because you can't really look at them. Do you think that they're trying to fix themselves too? The same slack that we want others to cut for us as we fix ourselves, Yahshua says that same slack we must cut to others who are trying to fix themselves, right? Right? We can't say, oh, you know what? Her and I have had problems for years. She's always doing this. No more here in the house of Yahweh. The same slack that we want others to cut as we fix ourselves, we're going to cut to others, right? Okay, so we shouldn't have to worry about that anymore. The house of Yahweh is not just a place. The pastor is not just any pastor. Pastor Israel Hawkins was chosen by Yahweh to do this job. Do you believe that? The job that the pastor has, none of us could do. And what pastor does is inspired by not only Yahweh, but Yahshua as well. Every single thing that this man does, he's great at his job. I trust his judgment. I will stand behind him forever. I love that man. Because guess what? I got a little secret. You know the little adjusting that we're trying to do so that we can come to perfection? He's the one holding up that mirror and telling us what we need to do to adjust ourselves in this great house. No, it's not you, Susie, who's going to tell me what I need to adjust, and I'm not going to tell you, Susie. Pastor Israel Hawkins has been sent by Yahweh to hold up that mirror and to teach us what we need to do to enter into this great kingdom that we right now are practicing to be a part of in these last days. Yahweh is in complete control. Do you believe that? Yeah. Yahweh is in complete control of every single thing that goes on in his house. Yochanan 1, 1 through 3. We have to believe this. In the beginning, at Abel, was the plan of Yahweh. Did you know that every single one of us that are in this room right now were a part of that plan that Yahweh had? He saw us here on this great sea of glass, and he showed the prophets. He showed the prophets the work that we're doing right now. When those prophets saw these visions, he saw us. He saw us right now. He saw you working at the concession stand. He saw you at the cafeteria. He sees me at the office. He sees men plowing the fields. He sees men picking the vegetables. He sees women cooking what's been picked. He sees it all. He showed it to all these prophets in this last days. That's how Pastor knew. How do you think that Pastor was inspired to put this work together? He read about himself doing it. Right? This same plan was in the beginning with Yahweh, and all things were done according to it, and nothing was done without this plan. This plan, Yahweh is in full control. Full control. Now, Pastor was inspired back in 1995. It was David Tomet, 1995. Very first ear-awling. That's when I got my ear-awled. I'll never forget it. Okay, so Day of Atonement, 1995, which started the year 1996. Because as you know, we turn all our extra second tithe in at Atonement because that ends. So you're really starting that year 1996, right? And that's when I got my ear all, and I'll never forget it. And I thought, you know what? I want to take 2017, which is right now when he was inspired by Yahshua to bring the ear alling back again, and I want to subtract. Now, everybody, you got a little calculator? You can do it. 2017 minus 1996. 21. 777. 21. 777. Do you see? Do you remember his dream? The 777 on 777. Remember that? Pastor was inspired to teach us that law again in Exodus 21 concerning becoming family members forever in this great house. Right? In the Greek, the word 1996 means to collect in the same place, gather together, gathering. Is that not amazing? 1996. It's probably no coincidence that Revelation was written in 96, when all of our last work in this time period where Pastor and you doing your great work, it's all being exalted and brought out in Revelation of what we would do in this time period in the midst of the wars. Yesterday, MOAB, the mother of all bombs, dropped on Afghanistan. I'm sure you all heard about it, right? While you're sitting here at the feast, while our pastor is teaching, saying it could occur at any time, the largest non-nuclear weapon was dropped on Afghanistan? Really? Who would have thought? Passover? I mean, we're the only ones probably in the whole world that would be rejoicing because we hear of bombs being dropped, right? But we know that this plan, Yahweh is in full control, and he's bringing these things to pass. Now, the word 96 in the Hebrew means from an unused root meaning to flow down together as drops, a reservoir of water. In Gesenius, it means the heavenly reservoirs of dew, drops of dew. Well, that just really brought my mind to Deuteronomy 32. Let my teaching fall like rain. Let my words descend like dew. Let them fall like showers on you, new grass, newly baptized. Let them fall like showers on the new grass, like abundant rain on you, plants that have been here planted a while. Abundant rain. We need that abundant rain to keep us rooted in this great house forever. Isaiah 44, 3 and 4. For I will pour water upon he who is thirsty and floods upon a dry ground. Have you ever seen a dry ground when it rains? It soaks up that water. On that dry ground, I will pour out my word upon your seed, Yisrael, and my blessing. Remember that blessing that we want? My blessing upon your offspring. You know, you think about this. They will spring up among the grass as willows by the water courses at Abel. Where are you at right now, House of Yahweh? So that's that blessing that Yahweh's going to pour his spirit or his laws upon the seed, which is us. So remember, we learned about that blessing yesterday in Genesis 12, verse 1. But it wasn't for Abraham's time. Remember, in Genesis 49, verse 1, it was for the last days. Remember Genesis 49? In Revelation 22, 14, it expounds on what this blessing is. It says, blessed are those who keep and practice, right now we're practicing his laws, that they may have right to a tree spoken of way back in Genesis. Remember that tree? That tree was offered in the beginning, but they wanted that mixture, right? But we right now are actually getting the blessing of having the right to this tree, the lawful right to this tree, and may enter in the gates into the city. I, Yahshua, have sent my Malach Yisrael to testify these things to you in the congregations, right? I am the root and offspring of David. Remember Isaiah 11:1? We learned about that yesterday. Keep your notes. I was about to come out of my chair yesterday. And the bright and morning star, and the spirit, the laws, and the bride, us, say, come. And let him who hears say, come, you nations, come on out. We're ready for you. And let him who's thirsty, dry ground, grass that needs watering, let us say to them, come. Right? Now, the water, great saints of Yahweh, is served in a cup. Yahshua drank of this cup. Yisrael Hawkins drinks of this cup. House of Yahweh, are we ready to drink of this cup? Yes. Now, my last scripture, I'm going to close with this scripture because Pastor read Isaiah 11, 1 through 3. But I want to finish off in Isaiah 11, 10 through 12 before I close. Isaiah 11, verses 10 through 12. In that day there will be a root of Yishai, who will stand as an ensign, sign, banner, signal for the people. To it will the Gentiles seek, and his rest will be glorious. Yes, he's going to teach us about that Sabbath, Isaiah 58. Verse 11, and it will come to pass in that day, which is the last days, that Yahweh will set his hand again, the second time, to recover the remnant of his people, which will be left from Syria, Egypt, Pathros, Cush, Elam, Shinar, Hamath, and from the islands of the sea. And he will set up an ensign, sign, or signal for all the nations, and will gather the outcast of Israel, and gather together the dispersed of Yada the octopus, and bring them into the house of Yahweh, and water them, and give them the drink that they've been dying for all these years. Praise Father Yahweh. At this time, I'd like for you to please stand and welcome our last speaker, the great head judge.
Shalom, please be seated. We'll try to go as quickly so we can make the time, praise Yahweh. Let's continue, please. We have heard so much about King David. We have heard so much about the root. So today, I want to talk about the process of germination. What is the process of germination, and why do I want to talk about the process of germination? Because Yahweh said, if he had not left a seed, if he had not left a seed, we would all be like Sodomites. Like Sodom and Gomorrah. So Yahweh left a seed. And we asked a friend to germinate some seeds, and they did not make it. So they gave us a little flower. So I'm going to leave that right here. Then the process of germination. The great last day's witness said in Book of Israel number 6. He said, when I'm going to give you what is the process of germination per the last day's witness. Basic and simple microorganism. He said, when you drop a seed into the ground, you do not see it, But right away, the microorganisms begin to work on it, and some go down to form the roots, and some go down up to form the stem and the branches, branching out. So I have a seed here today to show you. Here, I'm going to drop it. Did you see it? Oh. Did you see it? Oh. Okay. So when you put this in the ground, you don't see it. But the microorganisms begin to work on that thing. And here comes your roots, and roots branching out, and your branches and your leaves, plants. So that seed I showed you right there, can you see this? What's that? Oh, so yes, the little part right here, you'll know afterwards I have some nice steps that a great Kohana gave me. The roots going down into the ground and the leaves going up. That's your stage of germination. Then it grows and grows and it keeps growing. What's that? Grows more and more, your roots, your stem, branches. We heard a lot about the stem and the branches and the yeshi and the roots. See how it grows? Your steps and stages, and then voila. Okay, so why am I talking about germination and the seed that Yahweh left us? The great overseer said, Yahweh drilled this into David. He drilled this into David, and it multiplied in Yeshua. What is it that Yahweh drilled into David, King David, that was multiplied in Yeshua, giving us that perfect high priest of Yahweh's house? King David was a man after Yahweh's own heart. Is that what the scripture says? Yes, a man after Yahweh's own heart. King David had his palace, and he went outside, and he looked around, and he sees his wonderful palace, and everything he sees. And King David, everything belongs to King David. Are you with me, adults? And a man after Yahweh's own heart. So as I read and I read, then King David said to his generals, "Can you go find me Uriah and ask Uriah to go home?" So Uriah said, "No, I'm not going home. There's war. I'm going to stay right there in the king's palace." Yahweh drilled this in King David, and it was multiplied in Yeshua. What is it? What is that character trait? So Uriah said, "No, I'll sleep in the king's court." So King David, adults, you with me? The children can draw the flowers as I'm talking to the adults. So King David called his generals. He said, "Where do we have a battle over there at south? Okay. What time is the fiercest time in the battle? What time we have 100% fatality rate? At what point? Show me where in the battle." "Right here." "Okay, can you take Uriah and put him right here for me?" True or false? We're just reading the scripture. Right there we put Uriah. So, and in the evening, come and tell me how the battle went. "Oh, King David, everything went well. What about Uriah?" "Well." So Yahweh said to the prophet Nathan, "It's time to go to David and talk to him. Tell him your thing." So Nathan the prophet went to David, a man
after Yahweh's word. What is the threat is what I want us to find. The prophet Nathan is here to see you. Yes, bring him in. Great King, how's everything? Fine, nice. Great King, you know, I just wanted to tell you, I came to tell you that, you know, there was a rich man, a very rich man. He had everything he could have. Sheep, things, lots of stuff, radishes, everything. And there was a poor man. That poor man had one nice sheep. And the rich man came and took that one little nice sheep the poor man had. King David said, "No! Impossible! Bring him to me right now. I will take care of him myself," said King David. True or false? So Prophet Nahum said, "Oh, King David, you know something? That was you. Let me tell you." King David said, "Close down the palace, everybody. I need to be alone. Do you understand?" King David went upstairs and he put his ashes on and his sackcloth and he cried to Father Yahweh and he said, "Have mercy on me, O Yahweh." Do you understand? He said, "Have mercy on me, O Yahweh, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your compassion, blot out my transgression. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin." For I acknowledge my transgression and my sin is forever before me. He said, King David said, "Against thee, against you, and you only have I sinned and done this great evil in your sight." Skipping around, King David is praying. He said, "Behold, I was born in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." He's praying. He said, "Create in me a clean heart, O Yahweh, and renew a right spirit within me." He said, "Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take spirit holy from me." What is the character trait that you see in King David that was multiplied in Yeshua? Humility. The great one sent said, Yahweh drilled it into David, a man after his own heart. And it was multiplied in Yeshua, the David that you've been hearing about so much lately. The root of David, Yeshaya, the root that goes and spreads out. And all of us today here being a part of that, that was drilled in David up to this day. I am very sorry to take your time, but know, great sisters, it is not an easy thing to stay in Yahweh's great house. This is why Yahweh saw it fit to drill it all the way down so you and I could say, "Hey, you know what? I'm going to be here. I'm going to take that humility and stay in a Father's great house."
And that great house of Yahweh is the process of germination. Yahweh's way. And with this, we will listen again to the announcements and then just end with a wonderful song just to get rid of all the negativity and all the sad things on the news. We'll hear a lovely song after the announcement. Is that okay? Praise God.
This work started at the ends of the earth, for you saw this last day's work's worth. So we give thanks to you, Yahweh Almighty One, Yeshua as the high priest, and the one sent, they work as one. We are filled with joy, we scream and shout. So we give thanks to you, Yahweh Almighty One, Yeshua as the high priest, and the one sent, they work as one. Significant when we finally make it. We told us to be strong. He said it won't be long. Believe in his witness and you'll never go wrong.
For he whom Yahweh has sent speaks the words of Yahweh. That's the law and the prophets. For Yahweh does not give his spirit sparingly. Please notice what he's saying there to you.
To believe means to obey. To trust in the one sent by Yahweh, the witness Israel is.